السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, there are two kinds of people in the world, the sheep and the shepherds. So the first thing that you need to do is to decide which one you are. Because if you want to be a sheep, then I suggest to go to sleep, because I do not know the language of sheep. And then when the khutbah is over, I'll wake you up. But if you are one of the shepherds, or you want to be one of the shepherds, then listen carefully, because this is a khutbah about shepherds. And the title of the khutbah is Friends, Why They Are Important and What to Do About Them. The first thing I want to say to you is that being a leader means to take hard decisions and to like being alone. Being a leader means to take hard decisions and to like being alone, to like your own company. Because the tiger walks alone. Sheep have plenty of company. You never see a lonely sheep, huh? The biggest reason and pull of friendship is the need for company, which in psychology we call by many names. We call it affiliation need, and we call it need for approval, we call it affirmation, confirmation, and so on. This is a natural need, and it's a very powerful internal need of human beings. And in tribal societies, this was something that was very essential, because a man without a tribe was dead. And that's why when the Quraysh effectively banished Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from their tribe, and when he made hijrah, they were doing something which was against their own tribal norms for centuries. No one ever put a man outside his tribe, because without the support of the tribe, effectively it was like a death sentence. But this need to belong is an insidious need which seeks to manipulate you and make you conform to the acceptability norms of the group that you wish to belong to. Listen very carefully and think in terms of all the groups that you belong to, and reflect on what acceptability norms of that group you have agreed to, subscribe to, maybe consciously, maybe unconsciously. In some cases we do it unconsciously, but effectively you have to subscribe to those acceptability norms. You have to pass those tests before you are accepted into that group as a member of the group. In simple words, what any group, any organization, any company, any club, any society, any association, what any grouping of people says to you is, if you want to be one of us, be like us. If you want to be one of us, be like us. This is interestingly what the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain used to say to people also. They used to say, Kunu mithlana, be like us. How do I become a Muslim? Be like us. So this is nothing new. The acceptability norm of any group is, you want to be one of us, be like us. Do what we do, like what we like, dislike what we dislike, approve what we approve of, disapprove what we disapprove of, walk on our path and reach our destination. And that's why I think it's very important for us to choose very carefully, not do it by default. Because the path you walk on, every path leads to a destination. And you want to be very sure that you actually want to reach that destination if you want to take that path. But even in tribal times, and even today, we see people who want to differentiate, who want to make a difference, to lead their people. And they are people who refuse to go with the flow. Because only a dead fish goes with the flow. Live fish swim against the current. There are several of my friends here who know fishing. Only a dead fish goes with the flow. To swim against the current is a sign that you are alive and that you are capable of charting your own course. So the second thing I want to say to you now is, anyone who is driven by a need is someone who is at the mercy of the one who fulfills that need. He or she is a hostage in the hands of the one who fulfills that need. Anyone who is driven by a need is a slave of the one who fulfills that need. If I want to belong to your club, then I necessarily have enslaved myself to you. And the only way I will belong to your club is if I fulfill your entry norms. So be very clear in your mind. What do you want to be? I want you to think about Islam in this context and see how Tawheed sets you free from the slavery of the world. Because you acknowledge the only one, Allah Jalla wa Ala, who can fulfill all our needs. And when you make sujood to Allah, when you make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it frees you from bowing to anyone else. And that is why Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi said, "Wo ek sajda jise tu gira samajhta hai, hazar sajdon se deta hai aadmi ko najat." Iqbal said that the one sajda which you consider to be so difficult, giran has many different meanings. Giran means also expensive, it also means difficult. So Iqbal said that the one sajda, the one sujood which you find so difficult to do, actually frees you from making sujood to 1,000 people. Hazar sajdon se deta hai aadmi ko najat. Allah ko to sajda karega usko aur phir Allah ki dusre ke aage nahi jhukate kabhi bhi. Aur Allah ko sajda karne se jo inkar karta hai, phir Allah taala usko har ped ke samne, har patthar ke samne, har kutte ke samne, har billi ke samne, har gaay ke samne, har bhains ke samne sajda karate. To show His power and to make you zaleel before the makhluk. So when you seek the company of people, it doesn't come free of cost. Each group that you want to belong to has its own boundary conditions, its own entry rules, its own rules and conditions for inclusion and for staying included. Some of these are formally stated and you have to attend an interview and subject yourself to the examination of the group and be accepted to become a member. In other cases, the conditions are not formally stated, but they are equally compelling. One common rule, as I said, for all boundary conditions for inclusion is, if you want to be one of us, be like us. So what's the implication of this statement, of saying, if you want to be one of us, be like us? What is the implication of this? To understand this, we must carefully consider each set of entry rules and see what they are and what they mean. For example, there are some entry rules which demand that we deliberately do things which are against the laws of Islam, that we participate in them directly or tacitly. After all, as a Muslim, if you are a formal member of a group and they are doing something which is haram, you have only two choices. As a Muslim, you have only two choices. Stop them or leave them. There's no third choice. If you are in a group which is doing something haram, as a Muslim, you have only two choices. Stop them or leave them. You don't have the choice of being a silent spectator. Now, these people who deliberately do haram, they not only demand that you comply with them, but they also demand that you spend large amounts of money to support institutions which they have created, which exist to propagate haram, like gambling, like drinking alcohol, and music, and dancing, and so on and so forth. The institution has been set up for that purpose. And when you pay a membership fee, you are supporting that institution. Don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. That's precisely what you are doing. When we agree and we pay huge sums of money, entry fees, membership fees, whatever else, We demonstrate our willingness to commit haram by participating in these activities wholeheartedly. As I said, either directly or tacitly. And only then are we admitted as members. There's even a probation period to see if we demonstrate our commitment to haram. And only then is our membership confirmed. That's why I said truly to enter the Jahannam is not difficult. To enter the Jahannam is not easy. Enter Jannah is easy. To enter the Jahannam is not easy. To enter Jahannam, it takes money, it takes desire, it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes having to go there again and again. Subjugate yourself, humiliate yourself before this committee, that committee, prove to them. If you don't believe me, apply to membership of Secunderabad Club or Nizam Club or Fateh Maidan Club or any other club, and when you come for the interview, you say that I am against alcohol. I am against gambling. Say that. If you don't believe me, say it. You know exactly what will happen. I know exactly what will happen, yes? So if you want to fool yourself, go ahead. Except that you don't fool me. As I told you, I've been down that road. So we know exactly what we're talking about. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those sheep that in the clutches of self-induced blindness and delusion enter such company, and then when their eyes are open on the day of judgment, they realize what it meant to be in that company. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the scene. See the Quran, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes things. And He is describing things which only He knows. Hayyul ladhi la yamut. Only Allah does not die. And so only Allah knows what happens after death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the scene where the person who used to follow his bad friends will deeply regret that. And on the day of judgment, they will actually bite their hands in regret. You know, it's such a human gesture. Right? You bite your finger or something. If somebody bought a lottery ticket. I'm not promoting lottery tickets. That's also haram. But I'm saying you bought a lottery ticket and you found that you missed the jackpot by one number. What do? You bite the ticket. You bite your finger. You want to eat your finger. You want to eat the ticket or something. Literally, such a Rasulullah said, people will bite their hands and chew up their hands up to the elbows. Because the regret will be so severe. You can't even, obviously these things are things where Allah never, may Allah never put us in a situation where we have to actually experience this. So Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the scene and He said on the day of judgment, they will bite their hands in regret. And they will say, oh, I wish I had not taken such and such a person as a friend. He indeed led me away from Allah, from the reminder of the Quran, after it had come to me. Clearly, this ayat is directed towards the Muslims as well, because who else will say, led me away from the Quran after it had come to me? Needless to say, by then it is clearly too late to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Surah Al-Furqan, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم اتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا. Allah said, and remember the day when the zalim, the wrongdoer, will bite his hands and he will say, oh, would that I had taken a path with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ah, woe to me that I had never taken so and so as a friend. He will actually name the person. May it not happen that we name somebody else, and may it not happen that somebody has to name us. He indeed led me astray from the reminder of the Quran after it had come to me. And shaitan is ever a deserter of man in the hour of need. We know today that all these people, such people who lead others astray, they consider themselves in this life to be very cool and trendy and hip. And they look down on others who they call square and traditional and drug and dull and drag and stick in the mud and so on. But remember all of these titles. And naturally, For people whose reason for meeting and parting is self-indulgence and the displeasure and anger of Allah. Those who love Allah and whose need to please Him outweighs every other. Such people will look strange to them. And they will be drags on their lifestyle. So they call them strangers. But interestingly, so did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah in the hadith in Ibn Majah, in Kitabul Fitan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bada al-Islam ghariban, wa sayaudu ghariban kama bada'a, fatuba lil ghuraba." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah said, Islam began as something strange, and it will return to being something strange. So give glad tidings to the strangers. So I say to you, my friends, decide, who do you want to be called a stranger by? By your cool friend in this world, or by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment? You're going to be stranger to somebody. So who do you want to be called a stranger by? By all the cool friends in this world who will be very hot on the Day of Judgment? Or by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the fate of those who consider themselves to be very clever and who refuse to listen to Him and who refuse to be led by them. The people who refuse to be led by them, on that Day of Judgment they will be vindicated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will have a light running before them and by their right hands, while the cool and smart of the world are in darkness. The cool and smart of the world today will call out to the muttaqun, who they used to laugh at in this world, who they used to mock and make fun of, and who they used to call by different titles which they used to give them. They will call out to them and they will remind them and they will say, "We used to be with you." But of no consequence will that company be to them on the Day of Judgment, because in the world they did not benefit from the company of good friends. Instead, they laughed at them and they mocked at them. On the Day of Judgment, they will call out to the believers and they will say, "Were we not with you?" The believers will say, "Yes, but you led yourselves into temptations. You looked forward to our destruction. You doubted in faith and you were deceived by false desires till the command of Allah came to pass. And the chief deceiver deceived you in respect of Allah." The beautiful ayat of Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٌ باطنه فيه رحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب. ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم؟ قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور. Now let us look at another kind of friend which also Allah described. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ. illal muttaqun. Illal muttaqin. Allah said, Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum ala ba'd adu. Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illal muttaqin. Allah said, on the day of judgment, the akhilla, akhilla is the plural of khalil. In Arabic, there are many levels of friendship. And khalil is the friend who is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ibrahim alayhi salam khalilullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I could take somebody as my khalil, I would take Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So a khalil is somebody who is very, very close. Very dear friend, from whom there are no secrets. A friend who is a complete and total confidant in everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of judgment, such friends who are so close in this world will become enemies to each other. They will become, they won't just forget the friendship, they will actually become enemies to each other. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except the muttaqun. Except the people who have taqwa. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, one of the qualities of good friends, friends who are muttaqun, is that they will not abandon you even on the day of judgment. And this is because they will be in a state where the horrors of the day will not touch them. And they will be protected from the terror by Allah. In a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are seven whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade in his shade on the day when there is no shade except his shade. Number one, a just ruler. Number two, a youth who grew up in the worship of Allah. Cherish this youth. There is this time. Once this time is gone, you are deleted from this list. Maybe you will make it in another way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the doors open. But obviously makes no sense to lose an opportunity and then wait for another opportunity which may never come. Because we might die before that. So just ruler, a youth who grew up in the worship of Allah. A man whose heart is attached to the masjid. In all these hadiths, when you say man, it means a man and a woman. Because in the sense of the hadith, Islam is equal. The rewards are equal for the men and the women. So a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Two people who love each other for Allah's sake. Two men who meet each other for Allah's sake. Meeting for that and parting upon that. When they meet, they make the zikr of Allah. When they meet, they talk about the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they part with those words of reminder for each other. A person who's called by a person of another sex, another gender, a man who's called by a woman of beauty, a woman is called by a man who is handsome, a beauty and position for zina, but says, I fear Allah. Someone who's invited by another person to commit something which is haram, and the person says, sorry, I cannot do that. I fear Allah. A man or a woman who gives charity and hides it, gives it secretly, quietly, in a way such that the left hand does not know what the right hand has given. And finally, a man or a woman who remembers Allah in private, and his or her eyes shed tears for the glory and majesty of Allah. Seven who will be given the shade of the arsh of Allah on the day when there will be no shade except his shade. Jalla wa'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those and to enable us to do the deeds which will lead us to being included among the people who will be granted the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us ask ourselves which of these categories we fit into. The time to make amends, my brothers and sisters, and to change ourselves is now, not when we see Malakul Maut and realize the truth of our lives. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned the criteria of a good friend. And he mentioned four qualities. Number one quality of a good friend, as mentioned by Nabi ﷺ, he said the first quality is when you see him, he reminds you about Allah. Number two, when you sit with him, your iman increases. Number three, when he speaks, it increases your knowledge. And number four, when you see his actions, you remember your akhirah. Who is a good friend? A good friend is a man or a woman who, when you see them, they remind you of Allah. When you sit with them, your iman increases. When they speak, it increases your knowledge. And when you see their actions, you remember your own akhirah. May Allah help us to choose friends who fit this standard. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to make ourselves friends of such a standard for those who choose us. So as I said, all groups have their entry criteria. And groups of muttaqun also have their entry criteria. Groups of people who have taqwa of Allah also have their entry criteria. These entry criteria are that you should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you should love Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that you should love his deen, Islam. That you should be interested in learning and practicing and conveying this deen to everyone in the world. That you should not fear anyone in the practice of this deen. That you should stand for this deen even if you stand alone. But then who is alone? Who is alone when the one who makes him stand is Allah? There's another aspect of being in the company of those who obey Allah and those who don't. When you are in the company of those who obey Allah, when you are in the company of the muttaqun, it becomes easy for you to obey Allah and difficult to disobey him. Company influences. So when you are in the company of muttaqun, when it is time for salah, it is but natural that you join them in salah. You will feel comfortable dressed like them. You will feel comfortable looking like them. You will feel uncomfortable dressed in ways or looking in ways that Islam does not permit. Your activities, be they formal or informal, business or pleasure, will not violate the laws of the Sharia. You will not have celebrations that are in any way un-Islamic. You will not indulge in ostentation and israf, which is haram. You will not do anything that is displeasing to Allah or is in violation of the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Their talk will loop back over and over to the akhirah and to the fact that one day we will die and be called to account. Their role models will be the heroes of Islam. The criterion of intelligence that they will quote will be the criterion that the Quran prescribed, that the person first recognizes Allah and worships him alone. They will quote examples of people who were global leaders in a worldly sense, yet adhered to Islam totally and completely in word and spirit. They will seek to bring about change in themselves so that they can improve in knowledge and practice and get closer to Allah. They will talk about Jannah and Jahannam as if they could see them because they believe them to be real. And you will find yourself beginning to see the vision that they have before their eyes and will want to achieve what they want to achieve, the pleasure of our Rabb. About such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah said, the believers, men and women, are awliya, they are close friends and protectors of one another. They enjoin and they remind each other about al-ma'ruf, all that Islam orders, and they forbid al-munkar, all disobedience of Allah. They establish as-salah and they give zakat and they obey Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah will have his mercy on them. Surely Allah is almighty, all-wise. On the other hand, when you are in the company of the fasiqun, of those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobedience becomes easy and obedience becomes difficult. Your friends and social pressure and atmosphere will collude to prevent you even from making salah at its right time. If you dress like a Muslim, they will laugh at you. They will pressurize you to break the rules of the Sharia in the name of freedom or modernity or being moderate or some other similar rubbish. Their business will violate the Sharia, so will their entertainment and relaxation. They will eat and drink haram and joke about and laugh at the laws of Allah. They will promote vastu and feng shui and rahu kalam, all forms of shirk. Make no mistake, vastu is open shirk. To build houses and to believe in vastu is like going and worshipping and making sajda to an idol in a temple. There is no difference whatsoever. Stop fooling yourself until, otherwise, when you meet Malakul Maut, you will understand where your own vastu was. So these people will promote things like vastu and feng shui and rahu kalam and other forms of open shirk and superstition while speaking in the same breath about the importance of scientific reasoning and logic. It always amazes me how the mushrik can live in two worlds. On the one hand, the mushrik talks about scientific reasoning and logic. And on the other hand, he finds nothing contradictory about believing in complete and total superstition. Mythology is the study of myths. A myth is a lie. A myth is the four-letter form of the three-letter word called lie. There is what is a myth? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. The dichotomy of these stances will escape them because Shaitan, who is a member of their meetings, covers their sight and hearing and understanding. Their talk will exclusively be of the dunya and will take you more and more away from any thought of the fact that one day you will die and be called to account. They will make fun of your religion and of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will laugh derisively at those who seek to follow the sunnah and they will call them names. Right? If you keep a beard, our Hyderabadis will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like nobody else. Wallahi, may Allah protect us from that. One of the young brothers, he kept a beard and one of his elders told him, Dil ki kalik muh pe aa gayi. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke chehre pe jo tha wo kya tha? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji. I won't even translate this for my Arab brothers. Let us keep our shame within ourselves. But the ones who said it, they know what they are saying. And wallahi, you meet Malakul Maut in that condition and you will understand what kiske dil mein kya kalik thi, saaf ho jayenga ekdam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Astaghfirullah illazim. Toba karo. Toba karo. Such people cast doubts about the promises of Allah. Jannat dil ke bahlane ko khayal achha hai. Abhi likho shayari. They will cast doubts about the promises of Allah and they will use clever arguments and misguided logic to, within quotes, prove to you that Jannah and Jahannam are figurative, illusory and unreal. They will deny the provisions of the Sharia and will make halal what Allah made haram, and they will make haram what Allah made halal. They will make vice easy and virtue difficult. They will spread falsehood and confuse you with false proofs to legitimize what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made haram. They will seek to deny the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they will try to separate Allah from his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their role models will be rocket scientists who worship mythological figures. Their so-called intelligence unable to distinguish between reality and a fairy tale. Or they will be their role models will be so-called men who feel no shame to live off the earnings of their wives and daughters who exhibit their bodies on the film screen for money. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, there is a difference between a man and a pimp. They will quote examples as worthy of emulation, people who have become so lost in the dunya that they have lost their deen and are busy preparing their road to Jahannam. Their desires, which they seek to fulfill at all costs, will all be of the dunya. Objects and things and food and sensations and possessions. Such people cannot distinguish between halal and haram. They cannot distinguish between Jannah and Nar. Their idea of fun is to go blindly from sensation to sensation, seeking to reach a new high each time, ever seeking more ways to please Shaitan and displease Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned such people. In Surah Al-Furqan, he said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْعَنَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّوا سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen him who takes as his ilah, who takes as his God, his own vain desire? Will you then be a wakil? Will you make dua for him? Will you be a wakil over him? Or do you think that most of them hear and understand? They are only cattle. Nay, they are even further astray from the path. They are even worse than cattle. Because the cattle remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. Everything in the creation does tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except human beings like this. So they are even worse than cattle. They're worse than cockroaches, they're worse than snakes, they're worse than any creature that we look down upon. Because that creature, we may look down upon it, but it's a creature of Allah. and it remembers Allah. Whereas we are creatures of Allah and we deliberately choose to defy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And about such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us what He does with them when they exceed all limits. Listen very carefully to this ayat of the Quran of Surah Al-An'am. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that when they exceed all limits of disobedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will catch them? That He will punish them? See what Allah says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُ بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when they had forgotten all that they had been told to take to heart, when they exceeded all bounds of disobedience of Allah, when they openly mocked the laws of Allah, when they openly made fun of Rasulullah, when they openly committed haram, Allah said, we threw open to them the gates of all good things. Ajeeb, eh? When somebody disobeys Allah, Allah is not restricting His provision. Allah is saying, we gave them more and more. They became more and more popular. More and more people came to their parties. More and more people wanted to be on their party list. They got more money. They got more fame. They got more friends. They became cooler and cooler until they turned into blocks of ice. Eh? Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we threw open to them the gates of all good things until even as they were rejoicing in what they had been granted, we suddenly took them to task. Suddenly Malakul Maut was sent. And they were broken in spirit because they were not even given the chance to make tawbah. They were not even given the chance to make tawbah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. If you make tawbah, even the minute before you die, before the door opens, before the curtains part and you see the malaika, you make tawbah, Allah will accept. But for such people, that door also is closed. The door of tawbah, the door of hidayat is closed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against being with such people and said that if we did not heed this warning, then we would be included among them on the day of judgment. Make up your mind, people, who you want to be with on the day of judgment, when there will be no one to help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, He said, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَقُودُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and it has already been revealed to you in the book, that when you hear the ayat of Allah being denied and mocked at, then don't sit with them until they change the topic, until they talk about something else. But if you do not do that, if you stay with them, then you will be counted among them. Remember, what is Allah saying? Allah is not saying you are engaging with them in that talk. You are simply there. You are physically present. What did I tell you? What are the two choices of the Muslim? If he is in a place where disobedience is happening, what are the only two choices? Stop it or leave. There is no third choice. This is the dalil from the Quran. I'm not giving you my fatwa. I'm telling you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, stop them, otherwise leave. If you don't do either of that, if you sit there because you want to be part of that cool group, then you will be counted among them. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will collect the hypocrites and disbelievers together in Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against taking those who deny Him as friends. And remember, denying Allah is to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bizatihi wa sifatihi wa af'alihi wa atharihi. To deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his uluhiyat and his zat, by his sifat, by his deeds which he does, and by his signs. To deny him Allah in any of these is to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, next Saturday, not this one, next Saturday, September the 1st, there's a notice on the notice board, take a look at that. And those who are on the group would have got the email also. We are starting once again, every year we begin with the lecture series on Aqeedah. We are starting the series on Aqeedah September 1st. Every Saturday and Sunday, there's no repetition, every time it will be a new one. Inshallah, it takes 4 weeks. So come for that Aqeedah series, because the reality of people today, and I won't ask you to show your hands, if I ask you a simple question, what do you believe? I can bet you 90% of you don't even know what you believe. And you will tell me some dumb thing like we believe in Allah. What does it mean? Believe in Allah means what? You have no clue. Yes or no? So learn. Ignorance is not an option. Learn. The lessons are given here. It's completely free of cost. We charge nobody nothing. So please come. There's the arrangement for ladies and so on and so forth. Please understand, if you say, I'm a Muslim, what does it mean? What does it mean? What do you actually believe in? What should you believe in? What beliefs you might already have from somewhere which are false, which may take you out of Islam? So you, very important for you to learn that. Please come and learn. We can't do more than this. Then we can't do more than give you these lessons for free. Yes? Anyone here wants to be paid to come? Not going to happen, not with me anyway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against taking as friends people who deny him. And he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu al-kafirina awliya min dunil mu'minin, aturiduna an taj'alu lillahi alaykum sultanan mubin. Allah said, oh, you believe. Do not take for awliya, do not take for close friends and protectors, disbelievers instead of believers. Do you wish to offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a clear proof against yourself? Please read the Quran. Please understand the Quran. Very simple rule. What should you apply? How do you choose a good friend? And how do you choose the right situation that you should be in? And how do you choose a friend with whom you should not spend time? I have a very simple rule. And my rule is, with regard to a friend, who should I choose as a friend? My rule is, I ask myself one question. Is this somebody that I want to lead my Salatul Janazah? It's as simple as that. Is this friend someone that I want to lead my Salatul Janazah? If the answer is no, then that's not a friend I want to have. And as for a situation, what situation should I be in and what situation should I avoid? Again, a very simple rule. Is this situation a place where I want to die? Very simple rule. Is this place a place I want to die? If I'm in a movie theater, is that a place I want to die in? Because death can come at any time. And Rasulullah said, you will be resurrected the way you die. So ask you these two questions. One, is this person someone that I want to lead my Salatul Janazah? And number two, is this a place that I want to die? And if the answer is no to either of them, leave that person, leave that place. Do yourself a favor. A man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm talking about choosing friends. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith narrated by Anas bin Malik in Bukhari. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, when is the hour, when is the day of judgment? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what have you prepared for it? He said, nothing, Ya Rasulullah, except that I love Allah and His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will be with those whom you love. And Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, we had never been so glad as we were on that day hearing the saying of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will be with those whom you love. And then Anas bin Malik says, therefore I love Rasulullah, I love Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum, and I hope that I will be with them because of my love for them, though my deeds are not similar to theirs. Who is saying this? Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years in Medina. And who used to see after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Anas bin Malik was the sahabi who used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream every single night. Every night he would see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam till he died. And that Anas, this is the humility of the Sahaba. They were humble people. When a Sahabi says, I have no deeds, it doesn't mean that they're like me or you. Huh? Their no deeds at a different level. So pick your friends, because on the day of judgment, you will be with those you love. Please understand this. A final reminder, my brothers and sisters, before we close, this lecture is not about, not for and not about your children alone. It is even more about you, about the parents. Remember, children listen with their eyes. And they will do what they see you doing, not what you tell them to do. They will make friends like your friends. Please understand very clearly. Who will your children's friends be like? Your friends. If you have drinking friends, your children will have drinking friends. And make no mistake. Don't think that you can sit and drink alcohol with your friends and you want your child to be Hassan al-Basri. He will not be. He will not be. Please be very clear in your mind. Don't fool yourselves, right? Their friends will be like your friends. They will have relationships with their parents, yourselves, like you have with your parents. They will have relationships with their brothers and sisters, like you have relations with your brothers and sisters. Don't be in a situation where you don't talk to your brother and you expect that your children will be the greatest friends amongst themselves. They will not. They will not. Your son will sue your other son. Your daughter will sue your son. Your son will sue your daughter. They will spend their time in the court because that is how you train them. That is how you train them. Don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. If you respect your parents and are dutiful to them, they will be dutiful to you. If not, then be prepared to be rejected by them when you are old. They will eat and drink and smoke and what they see you eating and drinking and smoking. Be prepared for the reward and punishment of that to come into your grave when you die. They will give importance to what they see you giving importance to. If they see you praying, they will pray. If they see you leaving the salah, they will leave salah. If you make dua for your parents and for your elders, they will make dua for you one day when you are gone. Otherwise, you will not get it from them, just as you didn't give it to those who are with you. And that's why I say, don't worry about the atmosphere outside. Don't worry about the external atmosphere that they are exposed to. Worry about the internal atmosphere in your own home that they are exposed to. Because the external atmosphere is not in your control anyway. But the internal atmosphere is in your control. So use that control, change that internal atmosphere. And let the atmosphere, the values, the ethics and morals of your home be a benchmark against which they can measure whatever they see in the outside world. That let them get used to hearing your voice reading the Quran and miss it when they are away from you. Don't let them get used to the nonsense you shamelessly watch on television with them sitting by their side because you have lost all sense of shame. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Give them memories, O people. Give them good memories which will guide them to the right path. And if you deliberately fail to do all this, then be prepared to suffer in this world and the next. Don't fool yourself. No dua of anyone will help you if you don't change your lives and continue to live a life of open disobedience to Allah. Allah even prohibited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from making dua for the openly rebellious. So how can anyone else's dua help you? Ask yourself, stop lying to yourself and to your children. And remember what I told you and start practicing now if you are serious about the upbringing of your children. Remember that I have no stake in this. This is purely for you and your children. It's entirely your call and you will face the consequences of taking it or leaving it. Make up your mind and start immediately because Malakul Maut is waiting. Remember, a picture is worth a thousand words and action is worth a million. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.